It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's our weekly look at what's going on in Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer.
First, we're zeroing in on a case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Justices are debating whether or not for-profit businesses who object to contraception for religious reasons should have to cover it under the new health care law.
The case is centered in part around craft store Hobby Lobby, whose owners say they want to follow biblical principles while operating in a secular marketplace. Experts say the political implications of this ruling could be a big deal, especially important for President Obama's health care law.
Political scientist Kimmy King is with us to explain what's going on with the case so far. She's an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
Good morning. Afternoon. Sorry, how are you? It's a long day.
One or the other, right? Well, let's start with the basics. Can you summarize the case for us? What's it about?
Yeah. Where this came from is, you know, the Supreme Court has previously ruled that Congress did have the authority to pass the Affordable Care Act. And that was already a contentious decision that had been 5-4 back in 2012. And that just simply examined whether or not Congress had the power to do this. And the court held there that, yes, in fact, they do. They left open the issue of how it is applied in a variety of different circumstances. And be ready, because this is probably just going to be the first of many cases that tries to litigate over it. In essence, what has gone on is you have private companies, one Conestoga Wood, another AutoCam, which is an auto and medical manufacturer, and then Hobby Lobby, which is the one that everybody knows about, which have challenged the Affordable Care Act and the requirement that they as employers provide health care that includes birth control, which they consider to be abortion-related. And so they are challenging, in essence, claiming that their religious freedom is burdened because they do not want to be paying for health care insurance, which could, in essence, terminate life, like intrauterine devices. And so in the Third Circuit, Conestoga Wood, and in the Sixth Circuit, AutoCam, had been successful in saying, we're sorry, private companies, you may say it violates your religious freedom because you don't want to pay for this funding because you as the employer have religious beliefs that are pro-life. But in the Tenth Circuit, Hobby Lobby won, and the Tenth Circuit said that this did burden their religious beliefs and that government had not shown that it had a compelling government interest in requiring private employers pay for this kind of birth control. And that's why we're here.
And this has been, as you summarized, it's bounced around the circuit courts, and it seems to be right now dividing along partisan lines, with Justice Anthony Kennedy probably looking to be the deciding vote. Can you sort of summarize the arguments that we've been hearing so far?
Sure. So, and Kennedy is the one that everybody's watching, and everyone is pinning on him. And I will remind everyone that when the Affordable Care Act was being challenged, everybody was looking at Kennedy as being the swing voter. And then as it turned out, it was Chief Justice John Roberts, which cast the deciding vote to uphold the affordable health care under the taxing and spending clause. So all the political pundits may have it wrong. But here's in essence what the case boils down to. The question is, how do the standards apply for religious freedom? And do private corporations, are they protected by the same freedom of religion principles that individuals are protected by? There have been a series of decisions going back in time where the court has looked at different things, not only just religious freedom, but how the states might limit religious freedom. Are corporations considered to be persons within the meaning of the Constitution? Can the federal government mandate certain kinds of programs that might not otherwise be acceptable by the general population? And so that's why this case is so interesting to so many people, because it pulls on a wide-ranging set of case law and different legal principles to look at whether or not corporations can have religious beliefs and can they avoid being subject to regulations because of those religious beliefs.
And some of the justices questioning the lawyers for the corporations saying, well, how does a corporation express religious belief? And, you know, there are echoes, as you said, of Citizens United going back to 2010, that controversial Supreme Court ruling that corporations can be, in effect, people. What's at stake here with the answer to these questions?
Yeah, so in the case of Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, there had been a long line of history that had said that corporations have speech. It's easier to make the argument that corporations have speech. It's not so easy to say, well, how do corporations, do they pray? Do they attend religious worship? Isn't something like religion inherently fundamental? And Citizens United may be distinguishing because it looks at that issue of participating in the political process. And so people are saying that Kennedy may draw a distinction there because, remember, he said corporations were individual, you know, had that ability to express themselves. But here's the difficult thing. Kennedy, going back in time, also signed, he was the author of a decision in City of Bernie versus Flores. There, the Supreme Court slapped Congress back when Congress tried to pass the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to protect religious freedom. There, Kennedy said that the Supreme Court decides what the standards are, and that, here's the touchstone for your listeners, what the court is in essence looking at under religious freedom is whenever government looks to place a substantial burden on your religious freedom, it has to show a compelling government interest. So corporations have to show how they are substantially burdened in their religious freedom and how, even if that's the case, what is government's compelling interest? Because government can still burden you if they have a compelling interest. So is health care a compelling interest? Is it a burden on religious freedom? Those are the kinds of issues that the justices are going to be, you know, arguing about as they decide this case.
And something else that may come into play in this is how is that question dealt with in organizations like churches and religious nonprofit groups? How will that play in?
Well, certainly, I mean, so some, you know, pundits are saying that Kennedy's going to try to find a real narrow ruling, because if they rule in favor of the three private plaintiffs, of the private corporations, you open up a Pandora's box. I'm a Christian Scientist, and I don't want to pay for vaccines. I don't want to, you know, another one would say, I don't want to pay for Social Security because I think that that's a public handout. And the Bible says, you know, you can see the various kinds of claims that will and challenges that will be made against the Affordable Care Act and indeed other federal laws should they rule that way. At the same time, the Obama administration has allowed nonprofit groups and other churches and, you know, like Notre Dame University and Georgetown, they have been given exemptions under the Affordable Care Act, saying we don't want to provide this kind of contraception because it violates our religious beliefs. How can the Obama administration say it has a compelling government interest in providing health care and birth control and, you know, give exemptions to some religious organizations and not to private religious corporations? And so that's the struggle that we're facing.
Now, I read today that there have been protesters outside the Supreme Court doors. What kinds of pressures are both sides facing as this unfolds?
Well, it's funny. Sandra Day O'Connor had a very famous quote way back when, saying that, you know, it was in the middle of the whole pro-choice, pro-life struggle over the abortion controversies in the early 80s. And she said, it makes a difference when you have 100,000 people outside your door. But, you know, certainly this court has already experienced some of this political controversy. Chief Justice John Roberts, when he came down in favor in supporting the Affordable Care Act, when he voted to uphold it, he left the country and went on vacation for 2 weeks because he knew there was going to be a firestorm associated with that decision. So, you know, we debate a lot whether the court is subject to public opinion. I think the harder issue for this court is how they are going to resolve the different doctrines relating to freedom of speech or freedom of religion, what the right standards ought to be, whether private corporations can have religious freedom. And looking back at the cases, you know, the case law that they have, they're going to have a really hard time reconciling the precedent. So I don't think they're going to be as worried about public opinion as they are trying to craft a rule of law that won't continue to cause further controversy and bring a whole bunch more claims. Because, you know, the implications of this are huge, not just for religion. Think about this most recent Arizona law where they, you know, Governor Brewer wound up vetoing the legislation, but there were a number of religious businesses for religious reasons which didn't want to serve the GLBT community. You can see the whole range of different issues that could be opened up as a result of allowing corporations to, lay a claim to religious freedom.
Kimmy, thank you so much for joining us and shedding some light on this.
All right. You take care and go Public Radio.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was Kimmy King, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas, with us to talk about the Supreme Court case on government-mandated contraception coverage.